been teaching on bearing fruit for our Lord and our Savior, and it's His will. He's ordained us that we should bear fruit. And right here, and one of the reasons how we bear fruit, we're in a warfare against the devil. We're in a battle, and you're in a battle with yourself. You're in a battle with the world, the devil, and yourself every morning you get up. A lot of folks this morning, of course, when they got up this morning, they woke up, I can make it to Sunday school, but Shadrach, Meshach, back to bed I go, and they just went back to bed. I'll sleep in an hour and just miss it. And that's what they do. They got their Bible in, though. They did their Bible. Now, don't forget that. They got their Bible in. Yeah, they got their Bible in. They need help. Lord help them. All right, chapter 8 and verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's the key words. And ye shall know the truth. And he's speaking to Jews here. And this truth is a truth as a whole. A truth as a whole of delivering them from the law. Delivering them from bondage, you might say. And this bondage they've been in. If you don't do this, do that, do this. You're in a, you know, so man, they struggled to keep this law. And he had a freedom here. But likewise, we as Gentiles, we have freedom also when we're saved. To know you're lost. To know you're undone without God. And then God reveals truth to you. And you get that truth and you receive it and truth enters into you. And then you realize that I'm so saved I could swing over hell on a rotten cornstalk, spit in the devil's eyes, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and just rejoice in the grace of God. But that don't mean we can just do whatever we want to do. Sure you can. God don't make you do nothing. He'll just make you wish you did. Because if you're His youngin', that means you're His youngin'. You getting where I'm going? You just don't. Sometimes them wins, Brother Glover, the daddy said, you don't do that and you do it anyways. Those are whoopings. Not a whipping. You get a whooping. Everybody had a whooping from God? I've had some whoopings from God. And boy, God will get your attention in a way that you didn't think possible. But God says, all right, son, I'll teach you. And He don't do it because He's mean. He does it because He loves us. So Jesus said to those Jews which believed in Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And I was using this where it said in Ephesians, turn over there and look, get your brains memorizing. Ephesians chapter 6 where it's talking about the armor of God. And I was pulling these together. And chapter 6 and verse 10 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. And in this whole armor of God, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We stand in the truth. That truth's what you used at that campground, Pastor. It was truth you had inside you, and the truth started coming out that God put inside you. Miss Sarah, that was truth. And God says, how can I get through to her? You got that book. Give her some truth. And that truth, what opens people's eyes up. And every one of you have opportunities with grandchildren, with lost loved ones, with neighbors, with fellow workers, whoever it is, you have opportunities everywhere you're at. And to take advantage of them. They're not, like Pastor said, they just don't show up. Well, maybe this and maybe not. No, they're there on purpose. Your paths have crossed for a reason. So to realize this truth we have, how do we share it? What compelled? What was Jesus? And I chewed on this all week. Then I try to scribble it down on Saturday real quick. And I'm usually up Sunday morning scribbling the rest down. But what was Jesus' main motive? Who can tell it to me? Number one motive from Jesus, what was it? Four letter word. Yes. For God so loved the world. Everything God does, He's motivated by love. He chastens us because He loves us. So everything we do that motivates us to serve Him, it ought to be motivated by love. Everything. The fruit of the Spirit, number one, part of that fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. First three, love's number one, right at the top, love. So let's look at some of these. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. What do you love more? What do you love more? There's the battle. There's the fight. What do you love more? Or who? Me or God? There's my battle. Do I love me more than God? I shouldn't. I love Him more. He's done more for me than I could ever possibly think about. He hunted me down, brought the truth to me, cornered me up, convicted my soul, drawed me to Jesus, drawed me there and got me to a place, give me the faith to believe. Then I called upon Him and He saved me, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. That's all Him. I was just saying, yep, I'll take it. Here it is, take it. Love. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. In Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to another, we know that. So then you cannot do the things that you would. And the number one great commandment, Jesus said, all these fall on this one. We even heard it last week. What is it? Sunday school. The first and great commandment of all. Somebody here knows it, I know. Huh? That's the second. What's the first? Love the Lord thy God with all what? Your heart? Soul? Oh my God, that's all of us, ain't it? That's every bit of me. From head to toe, all my desires, my passions, my hopes, my dreams, everything about me, I love Him. That's what He said. Everybody's stone-faced. Because that's the tough one. Do you love Him? Because that's what will motivate you to do right. That's what will motivate you to read. That's what will motivate you to pray. That's what motivates you to hopefully to be here this morning. Love ought to draw us. Now shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy might. All thy heart, soul, and might. That's Deuteronomy 6:5. And then there's four places. I ain't going to spend a lot of time here. That in Matthew 5 and Mark 12 and Luke 6 and in John's account, he goes in a different way. Let's look at John chapter 14. But each one of Matthew and Mark and Luke, each one of them had account of thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all thy might. And the second is likened to it, that thou love thy neighbor as thyself. Who loves your neighbor like yourself? That's a tough one. You go to your neighbor's house, you guys all right today? I ain't seen you out in the yard, I just make sure you're okay. Just care about you. That's what we ought to do. And you know what? Back in the day, back in the 60s and 70s, it wasn't funny to go by. If someone went out of their house, someone went by and went, you guys all right? We ain't seen you. Just make sure you're okay. Or the grass is getting high at the neighbor's house and you decide to go over and say, I'll mow your grass for you. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I wouldn't let my grass get that high. Huh? God bless little Isaac's heart. He's about me. He's mowed this about this whole church lawn with the push mower. Yeehaw! Go get him, son. I'll watch. Get him, boy. You're doing good. What's bad? He's got two older brothers and sisters just watching do it. Oh, my. It's getting deep quick. But Matthew, the count of love. Mark's count of love. Luke and John here. Let's look at chapter 13 first. Chapter 13. Go back a couple pages here. Chapter 13 and verse 34. And this is very interesting. Of all things Jesus lays out, he knows he's getting ready to be arrested. He's leaving the disciples. The last charge, he don't say, keep the faith, boys. Just keep on doing right, you know. He don't say all this. He says, a new commandment I leave unto you. Listen to what he says. Look here. Look here in verse 34. A new commandment I leave unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. People are watching and they see how you treat one another. It'd be a shame to think somebody looks at this church and someone says, man, you guess what such and such was saying about such and such and such and such was saying about such and such? Well, I never heard. But those things go on. And we're human, I know, but we have a desire that we hear things say, God, we need you to work in a great way. Everyone sitting here this morning, we ought to have such a kindred spirit. And that's one thing I love. We eat together. We spend the day together. And those things are, it bonds us and tightens us. But our love for one another ought to be more evident to one another than anything else. Because I'm more closer to you all than I am my own family. When you say that, that's why I go, amen. I just ain't saying it. I really mean that. You are. You're my family. You're my family. So we see here this new commandment. If you have loved one for another, then shall they know ye are my disciples. If you have loved one to another. So love is a very important. It motivated God. Now it ought to motivate us. It ought to, love moved me. Listen, love moved me. If you're saved, love moved you. God give you a glimpse of that old cross in your mind and say, God did that for me. Lord, I'm nothing. I am nobody. Why'd you do that for me for? It moved me. It moved me. It gripped my soul. I don't even understand it still why God loves us so much. If I'd have been God, I think I'd have just been grounded out so that start again. I'd have been another flood or something. I wouldn't be a good God. I'd be a mean one. I wouldn't put up with it. I'd stomp us all out and start over and me number one on the list. Oh, Roger, you wouldn't do that. If I was God, look out. Love moved me. Love motivated me. Made me do things normally I wouldn't do. Make you get $1,500 and lay $150 in the plate. I never did that before. I said, what is this? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It moved me. Motivated me. What else to do? It molded me. What did Paul say? What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5:14? Somebody turn and look at and read it to us. Caleb, do something for us. That's right. That's it. Open your eyes. Get that Bible out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. You read it to us. Got his attention. It startled him a little bit. It moved me. It motivated me. It molded me. Put me in a mold. and squeezed me in it. And the bad parts, God's still working, getting it out, and He's still shoving me in the mold to this day. What's it say, Kate? Yes, real good and loud. Read her out. For the love of Christ constraineth. Who can tell me what this word constraineth means? Who's got an idea? Huh? Oh, yes. To compress. Brings union. It arrests us as being jailed. I'm on out. No, I'm glad I'm here. God's His love constrains it. It imprisons me. It holds me in a place of where I look. I'm in the love of God. I'm in His love. In a cage, it's His love everywhere. And it's His. God's love constrains me. Everything I do, it ought to be what I say, how I act. My desires, my hopes, my dreams, it's all molded into a mold of God's love. Constrained me, moved me, motivated me, and molded me. And then Jesus says over there in 14:15, just a page over, we'll read it. Because here's a toughie, one little short one. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love Him, you'll do it. The old preacher used to say, just do right. If you love Him, you'll do it. And what it say? And those, they've crucified the old flesh with its affections and loves. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. They crucified it. What's that mean? What did they do to Jesus? They nailed Him to a cross. So to crucify something, what should I do? If my affections and lust are between me and God, I need to nail Him to the cross. So to bear fruit, I gotta nail me to the cross. And my wants, my hopes, my dreams, nail them to the cross and I can serve Jesus. Love is the motivator. Moved me, motivated me, molds.